Well, let's look into our lesson, and if we end a little early, then we can hear more from you. But I'd like to talk about Peter's denial. Peter's denial. I think some of the things that we're singing and talking about apply to that story already. This afternoon, we have a time of prayer. So immediately after the service, please, if you're not staying to pray and wait on God, then please go outside quickly so that we can continue to seek him uninterruptedly. It's a beautiful day, and so you can visit outside. Okay. The denial. Okay. We're all familiar with this story, and so I'm sure that I'll say many things that you already know, but it's good to be reminded and keep these things before us. Let's start reading at Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22:31. Lisa, can you read for us?
And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me."
Okay, and then let's jump over to verse 54, I believe that we have there.
Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed far off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with them." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I do not know what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Thank you. Now, this is also given to us in some of the other Gospels, in Matthew and in John. And more details are given to us. For instance, Jesus told Peter, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny that you know me three times." Before the rooster crows twice. That's significant, that the rooster crowed more than once. In the Gospel of John, it talks about how Peter warmed himself by the fire that the soldiers kindled, and that as he mixed in with the enemies of Jesus, the soldiers there, tried to hide himself among them, by the light of that fire, I suppose he was recognized by some. And one of them that recognized him was a relative of the person whose ear Peter cut off in the garden. "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" And that really gave Peter the creeps, and so he denied and kind of moved away back into the shadows there. Now, we remember that Jesus healed that person that Peter had attacked. I can sympathize with Peter a little bit and the other disciples. Jesus had told them to take swords, okay? And they said, "Well, here's two." And they said, Jesus said, "That's enough." It seems like he was saying, "That's enough talking about that. You're missing my point completely." Jesus wasn't telling them to take swords and to protect him with those swords and fight against the Romans. He said, "Those that take up the sword will die by the sword." But he was telling them that up till now, we have had pretty much favor with the people. And crowds have come to welcome Jesus and to receive healing from him and so on. Now, as you read through the Gospels, you see that the attitude begins to change toward him. And Jesus is saying, it's not going to be like this forever. and you need to prepare yourself, because if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And they're going to treat you the same way they treated me. The attitude toward the world is going to change and turn against us. And so you're going to need to be filled with God's Spirit and able to stand in the midst of the persecution that is coming your way. And of course, they didn't understand that. They thought he wanted them to take swords and fight and against the Romans. And they had missed his point completely. But I'm sure that they began to understand as things began to change. Praise God. So Peter, though all deny you, I never will. I love you more than all of these. And they'll forsake you and flee, but I'll be right there by your side, Jesus. And I'm sure he meant it. I'm sure that's exactly what he wanted to do. But he didn't know himself. He didn't know himself like Jesus knew him. None of us do. The Bible says that he knows the very number of hairs upon our head. And I know I have a bald spot in the back of my head. I don't see it. So I act like I'm not bald at all. But sometimes I notice on a picture someone may take, they're taking a picture of the church, and I'm sitting in the front, and who's that guy? That's me. So I'm making it easier for him to count. But I don't think the Lord's really interested in how much hair I have on my head. But it means that Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. Do you know how much hair you have on your head? Okay. Jesus does. Okay. And that's the minutest detail. Jesus knows. He knows things about you you haven't yet discovered. He knows things about you that where you're fooling yourself. You think you're one thing when God knows that you're not. That's why it's good to spend time in the presence of God and let the light of the Holy Spirit shine into our hearts as we read the Bible. Jesus, show me myself the way you see me. I don't want to fool myself. The Bible says I can deceive myself, and I'm guilty of that. But Lord, I want the truth. You are the truth. And so I open my heart to you. Now, as we read the story, I have it here, the denial. I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody, cock-a-doodle-doo. That was the first time the rooster crowed. Peter should have heard that and should have remembered the words of Jesus. Before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. It was a warning. It was to serve as a warning for Peter. But he didn't heed the warning. Continued where he was. He should have taken off, gotten away from these people. Man, I'm not one of his disciples. Then again, I don't know. I don't know the man. And he began to curse and swear. And then cock-a-doodle-doo, the rooster crowed the second time. And I love what it says there in Luke. Just at that moment, when the rooster crowed the second time, Jesus must have been in view. They may have been walking from one place to another with him. And Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Peter was following afar off, but Jesus, he knew that Peter was there. And he turned and made eye contact with Peter. And Peter remembered what Jesus said, when the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny that you even know me. Here Jesus is bound, perhaps. He's been abused to some extent already. He's facing the agony of the cross. It's before him yet. The worst is still ahead of him. And he's thinking about Peter, not thinking about himself. He turns and looks at Peter. And then Peter's overcome with shame and remorse, regret, and he begins to weep and to run out and weep bitter tears. He was so disappointed in himself and so ashamed of himself. And he just wept and wept. How could I have ever denied the Lord when he needed me most? I failed him miserably. And to make it worse, I boasted that that would never be the case. Have you ever failed the Lord and been ashamed of yourself? Disappointed? You broke your track record. Up till now, you were serving God so well, and then you stumbled. And it was a big stumble. And you thought, how could I have ever done that? I didn't know that was in me. I think it's happened to all of us, to one degree or another. They say this is the best thing that ever happened to Peter. It doesn't look like the best thing. But Peter needed to realize that he wasn't what he thought he was. He needed to realize that the only one that really knew him was Jesus. And that whatever Jesus said about him was true. He needed to realize that he had no strength to follow Jesus. He didn't have the courage. He had the desire, but he didn't have the power to do so. That had to come from Christ himself. His faith had to come from Jesus. And so he went and he wept and he wept. And he wasn't there at the cross when they were crucifying Jesus. He was somewhere crying and hiding and discouraged and tempted to give up. Now remember, Jesus had told him, Peter, Satan desires to have you. They tell us that word you is in plural, in the plural form, so he wasn't just talking about Peter, but all of your disciples. But this certainly applied to Peter in particular. He desires to have you, to sift you as wheat. The sifting process is a process of separation, right? When you sift the wheat, you separate the wheat from the chaff. Satan wants to separate you from me and from your relationship with me. He wants to separate you from your relationship with the other disciples. You know, that's one of the first things the devil likes to do. He likes to separate us. I called someone the other day from church. He's been having some real physical problems, back problems, and he's discouraged because he's got so much pain. And he's a fairly young man. The doctors don't seem to be able to help him, no matter what they do. And he's probably thinking, how can I? I'm young. I still got years ahead of me. Am I going to live in pain for the rest of my life? And so he stopped coming to church. And when I spoke to his wife, I said, you know, I've tried to call him and I tried to get together with him, but he says, well, he's not feeling well today, but he'll let me know, but I never hear from him. He said, yeah, he doesn't want to talk to anybody. He just wants to be alone. He's discouraged. He's getting bitter. And that's the worst thing he can do. He needs God's people in his life right now. He needs to be able to pray with someone and be encouraged and be in the house of God when he can. But the devil likes to separate you from the body of Christ. Then he can attack you more fiercely. Right? They say that these animals that prey on other animals, one of the first things they try to do is separate them from the flock. And then they're absolutely defenseless. They've got no one to help them. In the Old Testament, When they went into the Promised Land, there were 2.5 tribes that decided they wanted to stay on the east side of Jordan rather than be with all the tribes of Israel settled on the west side. And so Moses allowed that. They had to first come and fight the battles. They weren't going to get away with not fighting the battles. They had to go into the Promised Land and they had to fight alongside their brothers and and conquer these enemies. And when their land was conquered and the tribes could settle down and possess their portion, then they could go back and be with their families and live on the other side of Jordan. But it wasn't a good idea to separate themselves from the others. Because when the Assyrians and these other nations began to rise up and attack the people of God, the ones that were separated, the ones that were on the east side of Jordan, were the first ones to go into captivity. We need the people of God. We need the body of Christ. We need to be in the house of God. And when you're not feeling well or when you're going through a trial, the temptation is to separate yourself. Don't do that. We're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. Like God likes, the enemy likes to bring separation among people, even in the church, attitudes, fighting, quarreling, fault-finding, gossip. He brings about separation. The Bible says that God wants us to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The enemy wants to separate us from one another and then ultimately from the Lord. And so that's what we see happening with Peter. Also, this thing about warning. Has God ever warned you? Have you ever looked back and said, Lord, I see how you tried to warn me. That person came to me and warned me, but I didn't listen to them. I told them they don't know what they're talking about and that I would never do something like that. I'm not in danger. But I found out they were right. And I should have heeded the warning. I should have listened to what they had to say. I wouldn't be in this mess if I did. But this attitude of pride and I know better and you don't know me as well as I know myself just led me down the wrong path. I've made mistakes, and as I've repented and dealt with God, I look back and I think of things that he did or people that he sent or meetings that I was in where God was warning me about this. And I have to say, Lord, this is all my fault. I can't blame you for this. You tried to stop me. You tried to warn me. But I was too hard-headed and hard-hearted to listen. But you know, even when we make our mistakes, Jesus doesn't give up on us. I like that he has chosen us. He knows all the mistakes you're going to make before he chose you, but he chose you anyway. That's a big help. There's a verse here in Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. What did Jesus say to Peter that would have given him hope in spite of his failure? Okay, that's a question for you to answer.
I have prayed for thee.
Yes. Jesus told Peter, Satan wants to sift you as wheat, wants to destroy your faith, but I have prayed for you. Oh, when Jesus prays for you, you know God's going to answer that prayer, no? He always hears the prayers of his Son, the Father. What else did he say there? How did he indicate that that prayer was going to be answered?
When thou art converted.
Yeah. He says, and when you're converted, when you turn around, when you come back, then strengthen your brethren. So, while Peter was weeping, bitter tears, the word of God was coming back to him. Peter, I've prayed for you. He remembered. Jesus knew this was going to happen. He tried to warn me, but he also prayed for me. And he said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That means I'm going to get through this. That means I'm going to learn my lesson. And God is going to renew my relationship, and I'm going to be able to be a blessing and a help to others, the others that have forsaken him and fled. I'll be an encouragement to them and a help. You know, God was raising Peter up to be a leader among the apostles. And he had to teach him some lessons, and he had to put him through some things to prepare him, to equip him, to fill that place. And it wasn't pleasant at the time, but it was absolutely necessary, and it made Peter the man that he was to be. When thou art converted, like I told you before, when I was going through that trial. Yes?
Sorry. He prayed for him, and he said, your faith would not fail. But still, Peter will still be shifted by Satan as weak.
Well, Peter got his eyes off the Lord for a time, but he didn't lose his faith completely. Jesus held on to him. And then, of course, by the reconciliation that we're going to read about, and also the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Peter's faith was fully restored, and God can continue to use him. But yeah, there was that failure, and his faith failed for a moment, but ultimately the faith was restored, and Jesus brought him through. Oh yeah, I was mentioning that when I had told you about that prayer that was prayed over my life, I had made some serious mistakes at that time. And yet, I remembered the word. Of course, there were words in the Bible that certainly I could stand upon. But there was also that very personal word to me that gave me direction and hope that Jesus was going to get me through this. If I would repent and I would keep my eyes on him and seek him, Jesus would get me through. And that's why it's good to get filled with the word of God, so that you can put your hope in God's word at times like that. Praise God. And so, it's a very moving story. I just wanted to mention this thought about Peter being by the fire. I remember reading about that there were two fires that we read about in the Gospel of John. That one fire was kindled by the enemies of Jesus. Later on in John chapter 21, we read about the fire that Jesus kindled. And fire, often in the Bible, represents the Spirit. The fire that the soldiers warmed themselves by, that was the spirit of the world. Peter got too close. We often get too close to the spirit of the world. We warm ourselves with the same fire that the people that don't know Christ warm themselves. Maybe it's the entertainment that they enjoy. We enjoy right along with them. Things they do, places they go. Maybe we fall into some of the same attitudes they have, and we just get too close to the world. And it's funny, it's fire, but it cools us down on the inside. When you warm yourself by the fire of the world, when you get too close to the spirit of the world, your heart gets cold toward God. James said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." If we're really going to follow Jesus, there are some friendships that we have to put limits on. Some we have to cut off completely. I was talking to one of the young people, and they said to me, it's true that when we as Christians are surrounded by unsaved people and we fellowship with them, we tend to be dragged down rather than influence them to come to the Lord. And that was good that he was aware of that. And so I remember as a young person beginning to follow Jesus. I was in high school. My friends started drinking at that time. They'd go out and party and get drunk. They invite me to come along. I couldn't do that. I thanked them. I knew they meant well. But I said, no, I can't go there. And then there were other things that they started getting involved in. Sins that I was not familiar with as a child, but now the temptations and the opportunities were presenting themselves. And I had to separate myself from some of those friends. Some of them I had to cut off completely. And some I just had to just choose the time and the place where I could be with them. I wanted to be a blessing, and I wanted to let them know about Jesus, but I didn't want to get dragged down into the mud and the mire that they were all caught up in. And so maybe there's some young people here, maybe there's some adults here, that you need to cut off some relationships. You need to make adjustments in your relationships with people of the world. Maybe you're getting too close to the fire that will cool you down spiritually. And instead, we need to get closer to the fire of the Holy Ghost, where our hearts become aflame with love for Jesus. So what do we learn from this morning? I guess there are a few lessons that we could take to heart. He that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Don't be so sure of yourself. Trust Jesus to keep you. Trust Jesus to hold you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Whatever you read in the Bible, apply it to yourself first of all. Whatever you hear preached over the pulpit or taught, apply it to yourself first of all. And then know that Jesus, God is for us. Who can stand against us? God is on my side. Jesus did not choose you to fail. He chose you to become the person that he can make of you. I remember hearing a minister say, talking to other ministers, God did not put you into the ministry to fail. That was a great help to me. I was going through some times of discouragement. And that went right into my heart. Lord, you didn't call me into the ministry to fail you. And I won't fail you. You're going to help me and strengthen me. And he does. And I thank God for that. God did not call you to follow him so you'd fail. He called you to follow him so you'd follow him all the way. But you got to trust him to lead all the way home. And then let's trust in his word. Let's hang on to the word of God when everything around us looks upside down. Hold on to God's word and believe him. And let's stay close to the people of God. We need each other. Don't fall for the trick of the enemy to separate yourself from God's people. Get over those bitternesses and those attitudes that the enemy puts in your heart to separate you from God's people. And be careful not to be an instrument where you separate brother and sister, brother and brother. We're called to peace. We're called to unity. We need all the help we can get to serve Jesus. And there are people that have faith and gifts that you don't have. And you need to, and you can benefit by having them in your life. And you have faith and gifts that maybe others are in need of as well. So Peter went through this terrible trial, and we're going to see that God gets him through. And now he's able to comfort others with the same comfort that he received. I was where you were at one time. I failed the Lord miserably. But Jesus was able to bring me out of that. And so the same Jesus that brought me out of my failure and loss, he can do the same for you. And so God turns these trials around and makes and shakes a blessing out of them. And the very experiences that we've been through, when given to Jesus, when we get our eyes back on him, he can take those things and he can use those experiences and what God has done for you to help others that will find themselves in the same place at times. Praise God. And so, we've come to the end of our lesson, and actually to the end of our time, I guess. But let's just take a moment to seriously consider before the Lord, where do I stand in relation to all of this? Are you here this morning and you're thinking about failures in your life? Yeah, we all have failures. Make mistakes. Give it to Jesus. Don't go another day without giving it to Jesus. Repent where you need to repent. Maybe you've done that a million times. Well, stop repenting then and believe that he receives that repentance. And then ask the Lord to strengthen you, strengthen your sight of him. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how we need you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Hallelujah. Let's sing Arise, My Soul, Arise. Shake off your guilty fears. We can sing it out of the white book. I think it's there.
46.
Thank you. Number 46 in our white book. And let's do that. If you find yourself in the pit of despair, let's arise. Shake off your fears. Come right to Jesus. His sacrifice has provided everything we need to be all that God wants us to be. Let's stand as we sing.
Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice
every one of us. You're on our side. You're for us. Hallelujah. Oh, you will bring us through. Hallelujah. Whatever it may be, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this encouragement from your word today. Thank you for the story of Peter, Lord, and how it speaks to us right where we are. We thank you that you're greater than our failures. You're greater than our mistakes. You're greater than all that we are. And Lord, we believe that you're going to bring us through, that you're going to bring us out and bring us into something more real and more wonderful than we've ever imagined. Lord, take all of these mistakes in our life, these failures, turn them around for your glory, every one of them. And Lord, as the devil may delight that we have failed, oh God, we pray that you'll turn it around, and in his face, he'll see that victory has come out of failure. And he's the one that will fail in his attempt to keep us from Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Thank you for your kind attention. Our time of prayer this afternoon. Again, if you're not staying to pray, then please visit outside. Thank you.